This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hello there! Welcome to the Fun Kids Science Weekly. I hope you are marvellous. My name's Dan. Right, this is the show where we answer the most amazing, weird and bonkers questions that the universe throws out there sometimes. Today we're learning why some of your favourite food goes a bit rank and gross when you leave it in the fridge too long. Also, expert Tom will be in the building, sat in the Fun Kids studio, answering one of the science questions that you have sent over to my page at Fun Kids Live. We've got a gigantic insect fact file in today's Dangerous Dan. We'll also chat to someone from the Met Office in a little bit about why there are so many hurricanes all over the world at the moment. First, we are taking a trip to some rainforests with our favourite lizard friend who loves learning about the environment.
Echo Gecko is brought to you by Fun Kids with the British Ecological Society, advancing ecology and making it count.
Hello, I'm Echo Gecko, a lizard who loves ecology. Ecology shows us all the clever ways that plants share the planet. Why don't you join me as we find out more? Whew, I'm in a tropical rainforest in South America, and it's certainly steamy in here. High temperatures all year round and plenty of rain make them a hot and humid home to an astounding 100,000 species of plants. And that's just the ones we know about. The plants have clever ways to survive in these conditions. If they get too wet, they might get covered in mould or moss, meaning that they can't get energy from the sun. So many leaves are waxy or slope downwards so the water runs off. All sorts of insects, reptiles and mammal life forage and nest in the dark ground levels. They have to be good at surviving in the low light created by the enormous canopy of trees above. In such a busy environment, being able to hide is an advantage too. Like this sloth. Can you see them? If you look really, really hard, you can just about see him. He's swinging from branch to branch very slowly. And he's looking rather green. That's because the damp conditions allow algae to grow on his fur, which makes him blend into the leaves on the trees. Clever or what? Different types of forest monkeys are common in the rainforest, and they love the bananas and mangoes that grow in these climates. But there's another creature that uses their tail, just like a monkey does, to hang in the canopy. And it's one you might be surprised to see up a tree. It's a snake. Cook's tree boa climbs through the canopy using its strong tail to grip the branches. It can even lunge at its prey from up there, meaning that even bats aren't safe. A lizard like me needs to be very careful. I'm off!
Eco Bite. Closer to home, did you know you can see ecology in action if you have a garden? Gardens are great for relaxing in. Maybe you grow tasty fruit and vegetables in yours. But you could use your garden to help a very important garden visitor. Bee populations are under threat, and you can help the bees by growing the wild plants they rely on, such as honeysuckle, comfrey, knapweed, red clover, and flowering currant. Together, these plants flower over the bumblebee flying period, which is March through to October, and they help ensure there is a steady supply of nectar. It means you can watch lots of bees in action too. Join us again next time when we find out more about ecology on Fun Kids. Echo Gecko is brought to you by Fun Kids with the British Ecological Society, advancing ecology and making it count.
We've got loads more adventures from Echo Gecko that you can hear for free. Catch up with them on iTunes, on the Fun Kids app, on your phone or tablet, and over at funkidslive.com. We're chatting to someone from the Met Office all about hurricanes in just a sec. First, it's some other serious business, right? Have you been onto the iTunes podcast store and left us a review? because if you want a shout out on the Fun Kids Science Weekly, I promise that is the only way. You can do it right now. It's dead easy. It'll take like 5 seconds. Just get out a phone or a tablet, open up the iTunes podcast store, find the Fun Kids Science Weekly and leave us a review. Drop us some stars. 5 would be the best possible thing ever. Tell me your name in there as well. And I might say hello to you really soon. Seriously, if you love science and learning about it through this show, it would be fantastic for you to let us know. It's dead simple. Just search Fun Kids Science Weekly in iTunes and I'll say hello next week. There's been a lot of hurricanes in the news all around the world after the last few weeks. We've seen Hurricane Irma and Harvey in America. We've had some pretty wild storms over here in England too. And Jo Camp is a senior scientist at the Met Office and she's here to tell us loads more about them. Hey, Jo.
Hello there.
Hello. So firstly, the easy one, what is a hurricane?
So a hurricane is an absolutely huge rotating storm which forms over the water in the tropics. And they are absolutely ginormous. Some of them can be up to 600 miles wide and 9 miles high and have amazing wind speeds of up to 200 miles an hour.
So, but why do they form though? If it's only in the tropics, it must be something that's going on there.
Absolutely. So yeah, so the thunderstorms need the tropics in order to form because they require warm water. So if you've got warm water, the storm sucks up loads of moisture and it's this moisture which then fuels the storm, giving it its energy. As the storm then moves, the clouds then begin to rotate, and if there's enough water and the winds increase to more than 75 miles an hour, then the hurricane is born.
So what's constantly giving it energy? Because we've seen the ones in America particularly that have travelled all across the South Coast, or down Florida, across Texas now as well. What's giving them energy now they're travelling across land?
So what happens is when the hurricanes travel over water, they gather all of the moisture, and that's that moisture which gives it its energy. As the storm then moves over land, it then begins to weaken because it's no longer got any of this fuel from the oceans. But what we've seen recently with Harvey, for example, is this stayed over the Texas coast for a very long period of time. So this storm was able to gather lots of moisture from the ocean and then drop it on the land. And we saw record-breaking levels of water with Harvey. And it's purely because it managed to stay half over the water and half over the land.
So what's the difference then between a hurricane, a tornado and a typhoon, say?
So a hurricane and a typhoon are the names given to the same system. So you have tropical storms, hurricanes and tropical cyclones. They're all names for tropical cyclones. And their names depend on the ocean basin that you're in. So typhoons, for example, are the names given to tropical cyclones in the Western Pacific. And hurricanes are the names given to tropical cyclones in the Atlantic.
But there's no other difference between them. They're exactly the same kind of thing.
They're exactly the same. They're given different names based on the basin that they're in and also the wind speeds that they reach.
And what's a tornado?
So a tornado, you can actually get tornadoes in hurricanes, but tornadoes are much smaller. These are formed from thunderstorms. And you can see these when they drop down from clouds. And they cause a lot of destruction, but over a smaller area. So they're more from smaller thunderstorms as opposed to very, very large hurricanes.
And we've heard a lot about the eye of the hurricane. That's like a phrase that's bandied around. What is it actually, though? What's an eye of a hurricane?
So the eye of a hurricane is actually the centre of the storm. And amazingly, this is where you get the calmest conditions. So in the eye of the storm, you can get the lowest wind speeds and you can also get very clear conditions. So as a storm passes over you, the outside of the eye can contain the most intense winds and this can be the most destructive part of the hurricane. But then after this has passed, you might get clear blue skies and sunshine, which is absolutely incredible. But then of course, as the other side of the eye passes over you, then you get back to these really strong winds and really heavy rain again.
And how kind of wide would like your average, I don't know if you can say average, but the standard eye of a hurricane be? How much freedom and blue sky are you likely to get when you're in the path of a hurricane?
So the size of the eye can vary tremendously between different storms. Some of them can be really small. They're called pinpoint eyes and they can be very, very small, only a few miles across. Some of them can be much bigger, maybe up to 50 miles across.
And what about the names of hurricanes? Because we've just seen Harvey and Irma. I know we had Katrina a few years ago now. What's the naming system in place?
So the National Hurricane Center is the official warning center for the Atlantic Basin, and they name the storms. So in the Atlantic, we actually have an alphabetical list of names that start with A, and then they go through. And each year we start a new list of names, and there are six lists in total. So that's when we see hurricanes Katrina and Irma, and these are all given names in order for us to identify the storms.
And how long in advance can we predict when we might see a hurricane?
Some of them can be predicted quite far in advance, say around 4 to 5 days, but it depends on the storm. For example, Hurricane Irma, we were able to predict her path within about 4 or 5 days in advance, whereas Hurricane Jose, which is currently in the Atlantic, is much more difficult to forecast, and actually even forecast 2 days ahead are actually quite difficult at this stage.
And is there any way of predicting where they're going to travel, where their path will lead, or are they quite random and disobedient?
Sometimes hurricanes are definitely disobedient. They certainly don't go where we would like them to go sometimes. It's very difficult to forecast some hurricanes. And even at longer timescales, say ahead of a season, we can't forecast where they will go 6 months' time. Weather conditions are definitely what determines where a hurricane will go. And as I say, sometimes these can give us a good indication 4 to 5 days in advance, but sometimes we can just not tell. And up to 24 hours, it's very difficult.
Now, Joe, as a senior scientist at the Met Office, we seem to be having like a lot more hurricanes right now. I mean, we've got 4 around the world, we think. And if they're caused by specific weather conditions, is something that we are doing as humans causing the weather conditions, which is then making the hurricanes?
Yeah, so it's very difficult to actually determine what the influence of climate change is going to be on hurricanes. So the latest science suggests that the number of hurricanes around the world will actually stay the same or may even decrease. But what we do know is that the intensity of them may increase, and also we might see more rainfall as well. And this is particularly damaging to low-lying regions and also coastal regions, which may see more flooding events, for example.
So right now we're just in an unfortunate time frame where there are a lot happening right now. It's not signs of the way things will be from now on.
No, the Atlantic hurricane season runs from June to November, and the peak season is actually right now between the beginning of August and the end of October. So it's very common to see a lot of activity at this time of year. So we wouldn't be able to attribute this to climate change at all.
Right, okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on the Fun Kids Science Weekly, and good luck at the Met Office.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now we're heading to Mars in just a sec with our space cadet pals. First, it's time for Dangerous Dan. Every week, we discover the most evil, deadly and mean things in the universe. Today we're heading east for the awesomely named Asian Giant Hornet. It's like a massive wasp, really. It's about the same size as your dad's thumb. Now, they've got 2 sets of eyes to see in panoramic vision and spot all of their prey. They're furiously yellow and black as well. They've got mandibles or claws in their head, which they use to cut other heads off insects. Now, you might have heard the tale that bees can only sting once, right? Your mum or dad might have told you this. Now, this is mostly true, right? Because their stingers are designed so they get lodged into their prey. They can only use it once. The hornet, though, no such luck. This has been designed so that it goes in and out swiftly. It can cause the most damage repeatedly by stinging their prey over and over again. The Asian giant hornet, it's mostly harmful to bees, and it's really cruel as well. It will find a hive nearby, and the hornet will go in and kill all the workers in there one by one, really meanly, defeating them all, taking the place over. For humans, they are pretty dangerous as well. The venom can cause kidney failure and even death if it's not treated. The worst part is they're attracted to the smell of human sweat, which means running away from the Asian giant hornet only makes them want you even more. Brace yourself, right? This will sound completely random, by the way, but it's absolutely true in the Fun Kids Science Weekly universe anyway. Imagine you're queuing up for a hot dog. You know, you're starving. All you want is a little bit of stale bread, some questionable sausage, and some ketchup on top to make it all slip down. When all of a sudden, you're rocketed it up to space. Sounds strange, right? Almost impossible, you might say. But in fact, there is a tiny chance that it might happen. And Harry and Terry, our space cadets, should know.
Welcome along to the astro adventures of the Space Cadets.
Configurating coordinates, all clear. Mission Control, Spaceship Intrigue is on final approach towards Mars. Yes, Mission Control. Space Cadets Harry and Terry are nearly ready. Will you two wake up?
What? Unicorn?
Who? There's a unicorn, you say?
No, boys, for the last time, there are no unicorns. Now wake up, we've nearly reached Mars, the planet closest to the Earth in our solar system, and it's time for your mission.
Can't we just say it's big and red?
No, Terry, that simply won't do, I'm afraid. Now hold tight, we're entering the atmosphere of Mars. You should be able to feel Mars's gravitational pull on the ship. Look sharp, boys, and get ready for your mission. There's no time for breakfast.
There's always time for breakfast. My mom says breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Well, can you please just have toast today, then? There really isn't time for 3 hours of Operation Cornflake clear-up like the last time you poured a bowl of cereal in low gravity.
What's the big rush thingy? What's our mission?
Today, boys, we're going to land on Mars and collect surface samples for Mission Control.
Cool. And we can take Robo with a walk at the same time.
Well, maybe. We only have a certain amount of time you can stay on the Martian surface.
Yeah, let's take Robo-Wolf out with us. It's been ages since he's had space walkies. Would you like that, boy?
Hold tight, we're coming into land.
I can't wait to go and check out Mars. Wow, it really does look red.
Mars is also known as the Red Planet because of its red appearance. The red surface you can see is comprised of iron oxide. Now be careful, Mars often has giant dust storms.
Oh, it'll be fine. Look, I've invented an anti-dust suit.
Oh, excellent.
Terry, take that feather duster off your head. There's no such thing as an anti-dust suit. You'll just have to take care out there. Keep your spacesuits and oxygen masks on, okay?
Oxygen masks?
Yes, the atmosphere on Mars is very different to that on Earth. Carbon dioxide, the toxic gas you breathe out, makes up 95% of the atmosphere here on Mars, so you need your oxygen mask to breathe normally. So, keep on the lookout, get some surface samples, and remember, the effect of gravity here is about a third of that on Earth, so don't go jumping around too much.
Thanks, Zingy, we'll be fine. Come on, Robo-Wolf, come on, boy.
And don't be too long. We have to leave Mars by nightfall, okay?
Why?
Temperatures can drop to below minus 120 degrees Celsius during the night. That's well below freezing and colder than any place on Earth, okay?
Don't worry. We'll be back before then.
Definitely.
Wow, this is amazing.
I know. Look at this dust storm, man. This is dustier than my bedroom gets before Mom yells at me and brings the Hoover in.
I know, a Martian dust storm. How amazing. How incredible. Harry, where'd you get that kite from?
Brought you with me. Just making the most of it while there's a wind on.
Hey. Oh, it's broken. I guess your kite's no match for a dust storm on Mars.
Ah, rubbish.
Want to play frisbee, Terry? Hey, put that away. It's mine. Come on, let's go over here. Robo has found something. I love walking on Mars. It's so much easier without all the extra gravity pulling me down.
Whee! Whee!
What's that, boy? Oh, you think we should collect some surface samples for Mission Control? And that these loose rocks in this small crater would be useful for further analysis? Good boy. Well done, Robo-Wolf. Look, Terry, he's collecting the samples by scooping them with his tail. I can honestly say you're the best robot-based pet I've ever had, Robo-Wolf. This storm's getting worse. Robo-Wolf's blown over. Quick, let's get back to the ship. We'll have to carry him. He'll just keep blowing over. Whew. I can honestly say you're the heaviest robot-based pet I've ever had, Robo-Wolf.
It's a bit blowy out there, Zingy.
I can see. Right, I'm going to send off these samples to Mission Control straight away. Scientists think there's a chance that rock samples on Mars could contain fossils, possibly from minuscule bacteria, suggesting that there was at one time simple life on Mars. The question now is there still life on Mars?
Well, I can solve that for you, Zingy. I saw simple life out on the surface of Mars just now.
Really? That's incredible.
Yeah, his name's Harry. What?
Oh, you boys. What I mean is that most scientists agree that life requires water to exist. So for the bacteria to have existed, there must have been running water here on Mars's surface at some time.
What? Like a tap?
No. See these great channels in the planet's surface? They may once have been full of water, like massive flowing rivers. Uploading high-definition photographs to Mission Control.
Job well done, I think.
Game of Frisbee now?
Join us next time for more Astro Adventures with the Space Cadets.
Just another reason to never really touch fast food. Not only is it not too great for your belly, it also could get you accidentally sucked up into space. You can hear loads more from our Space Cadet series. For free on your phone or tablet, head to iTunes, the Fun Kids app, and over at funkidslive.com. We've still got our science in the news to do on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. It's in a bit. Today you can find out why a dog sneezing is a sign of pure power. First, let's check in with our expert, Tom. He is an absolute science genius, and he's up for answering any question that you've got to send in, really. If there's anything strange in science that you don't quite get, it's fine. Send it over to my page at funkidslive.com, and we'll get our expert, Tom, to explain. Our question for today is from Madeline. She is six. She asks, why do stones sink?
Part of the reason is gravity, but not everything sinks. So a ship won't sink. So the difference between a stone and a ship is to do with the density. That's its mass divided by its volume. So for a ship, it has a very high mass, but it has a very high volume as well, which means that it can float on water. Whereas a stone, though it has a smaller mass than a ship, it has a lot smaller volume, and that's why it sinks.
What are we defining volume as here?
So this is the space it takes up. So if you do its three dimensions, if it was a cube, you could do its height, its width and its depth, and times them all together and you get the volume.
So, and because ships are so big, they're so huge, they've got a large volume, a high volume.
Yes.
Which means the because they're so heavy, it means they float.
Yeah, well, within a ship, they have an awful lot of empty space, or air, not empty space. So in the hull of the ship is just air, which is a lot lighter than water, was a lot lower density than water. So that's how the ship floats.
It is time to find out what sciencey stuff has been in the news this week. Dogs sneeze to vote. That's right. A study has found that African wild dogs, when holding pack meetings to decide when to hunt, when to move camp, they sneeze to make their voice heard. At these social rallies, a dog will cough and splutter to get their opinion across, which is amazing, but must be a little bit confusing if one of them's just got a cold. Also, size matters when it comes to extinction. Scientists say that the biggest and smallest species of animals in the world are most at threat of dying away, because heavyweights are at risk of hunting, small creatures are losing out due to deforestation, but the less big and small animals aren't as much as a trophy, so they're less of a threat. And finally, unusual weather patterns have provided a boost in berry numbers this year. A combination of a warm, dry spring followed by a rainy, hot summer means that more berries are cropping up earlier in the year in plants and hedgerows. The weather change has made the fruit ripen earlier and it's been more plentiful than usual, which is a nice, tasty way to finish science in the news. Right now, we are joining up with our superhero, Kay Mystery, who's looking at gross things in your kitchen.
Kitchen Chemistry with the Royal Society of Chemistry.
You're right. Kay Mystery here, chemistry superhero. And I bet you didn't know that your kitchen, yep, the one in your house, is a real-life chemistry lab. Don't believe me? Come on. Leave it long enough and all food will spoil. Or rot. Oh! And do you know what's behind this change? Chemistry. If your bananas have gone soft, that's because of a chemical reaction going on inside. It's the same reaction that helped the banana to ripen, but eventually your nana will go black and squiddy. Ew. Sometimes the change is caused by chemicals around the food. When oxygen combines with some enzymes in fruit, it can make the fruit turn brown. When you cut an apple, you can watch the chemical reaction happen for yourself. Decomposition, that's when things rot, is down to the tiny bacteria that live on or inside the food. Many of these aren't harmful, but they release enzymes to break up the food so they can eat the nutrients themselves, making the food disintegrate. So make sure you eat your dinner before they do.
Kitchen Chemistry with the Royal Society of Chemistry. Find out more and get hands-on with chemistry in your kitchen at funkidslive.com/chemistry.
You can learn loads more about Curious Chemistry for free. Catch up on all of those episodes on iTunes, on the Fun Kids app, and over at funkidslive.com. That is it for the Fun Kids Science Weekly then. Thank you so much for listening. We're back next week with more baffling answers to the crazy questions of the universe. If you've liked the show, please do get out your phone or your tablet, get onto the iTunes podcast store and leave us a review. Chuck us some stars as well. Let me know your name and I will make sure that I say hello next week. If you do, also, you can send in your science questions. Doesn't matter how ridiculous you think it is, we will get our expert Tom to answer it. You can send that in to my page at funkidslive.com and also use the Fun Kids app for that too. While you're on the app, remember that is also the best place that you can catch up on our brilliant science series. You can download those for free on the Fun Kids website as well and on iTunes, and you can listen to Fun Kids all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on the free Fun Kids app, and over at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.